Thank you for that good singing. Praise the Lord for that great truth of that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. May the Lord help us to truly find that time. And by the way, I know sometimes finding that hour can be very difficult in the life we live in. But what joy it is to truly be able to pass an hour's time in the presence of the Lord in prayer. There's something about that. I wish I would do that much more often than I do. And it accomplishes much. It's a great blessing. And may the Lord help us to do that. And so that song also inspired me to not be so filled with words tonight and give us an opportunity to go and pray. And because we do need to avail that opportunity to pray and thank God for what He's doing in our church. It's good to see a good Wednesday night crowd. I'm telling you what, that encourages me so much. And I praise God for your faithfulness and your desire to be here on the Wednesday night midweek service to grow together and to worship the Lord together and spend time in prayer. Before we get going here, I do want to just go ahead and cover a few announcements. What the game plan tonight is that we will, I'll have a few announcements here. Then I'm going to kind of have a recap with you over the past 2 months to sort of give a update on how our Take It Personally outreach has been going, the grow impact that we've done on our teams and how the Lord has used this already. And I want to just bring you up to date and try to encourage you with that. And then we will break up in prayer and see how the Lord leads in that. Now, Brother David, remind me, brother, as far as tonight in prayer, were we going to break up in our groups for prayer? Okay, all right. I thought that's where we left it off. We could go either way. We'll do that. So I'll make that announcement at the end on how we can pray tonight and thank the Lord for that. Before we begin, let's just ask the Lord to help us in this midweek service. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the beautiful day, just gorgeous day, and thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be here tonight. And Lord, I know as I look upon this congregation, and Lord, I do know that folks could have chosen to do other things tonight. I know there's homework to be done. I know there's deadlines to meet. I know there's tiredness from the work day and just multiple things, Lord, that could perhaps been an excuse. But God, your people have chosen to be here, and I pray you'd bless them for it. Encourage us tonight, Lord. Draw us closer to yourself. Help us to truly pray in the Spirit tonight. And Lord, I pray that we would all be encouraged about the work you are doing in and through your church. Lord, all the glory goes to you. And so that's what we want to do. We just want to thank you, Lord, for how good you are tonight. And Lord, we do ask these things and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me begin with a few announcements. I must start off with the one that's probably, I don't know, freshest on my mind, and that is the upcoming camping trip. That is something that I am really, really looking forward to. A lot of us will head out tomorrow. Some will head out Friday. But I do want to say this. I want to say a couple things about that. But one is, you fellas, do you fellas know what a PFD is? We use those in the Coast Guard, and that's the proper name of something. Does anybody know what a PFD is? Personal flotation device. Bring your PFDs on this trip, okay? Y'all still haven't got it, have you? It's supposed to rain like Noah's Ark, okay? And we're expecting floods, so I'm telling you to bring your life jackets because we might find ourselves floating away. But I do expect a little bit of rain, but I say all that to say this, with all seriousness, we need to be prepared. They are calling for rain tomorrow. I don't know exactly how much, but there's a pretty high percentage chance. The last time I saw, it was 100%. I don't know to what degree. You know how it can be, especially in the mountains. It can change so quickly, and we may not get a drop. But that's not exactly what it's looking like at this moment. So I say all that to say this. Fellas, let's be prepared. Bring extra clothing. Make sure you bring ponchos or rain jackets if you got them. and also extra tarps. If you have some extra tarps laying around, bring them with some nylon cord. We need plenty of rope. We'll try to hang up tarps to sort of protect ourselves. And I do not recommend bringing iPads and electronic devices. If you do, you're taking a great risk and losing that. But I know phones will bring. I do encourage you to keep things in a Ziploc bag. You can get those waterproof bags too. They make them now. But keeping things in there, just want to let y'all know. But nevertheless, we're going to do it. And we're going to go, and I may very well end up sleeping in my truck, but that's okay. We will tough it out and see how it goes and play it by ear. And we'll talk more about that later. Any of you fellas have any questions about that as far as when we're leaving, please see me after the service, because you don't want to get left. If you're planning on riding with somebody, please let someone know that if you weren't planning on driving and you need a ride, we need to know that. And so we can make those means available to you. And so we should be ready to go. We've got stocked up on food, all right? So that is probably the most important thing, physically speaking, that we will have there. And boy, do we have it. We got Brother Mike. He's going to smoke a balsam butt for us, and we'll have that on Saturday night, along with the dozens and dozens, and maybe even hundreds of trout that we will catch, and we will do that, and then we'll have that, and then we're going to have hamburgers and hot dogs at one point, and then biscuits and gravy one morning for lunch and eggs. I think even James Harris and Brother Dan Bachman are going to come meet with us at some point. So you older men that would like to join us but don't want to camp out in the elements, you come on up and maybe just spend a few hours with us at least in some way. And I know that'll be an encouragement. But anyway, nevertheless, we're looking forward to that. I know the Lord's going to help us, and it'll be a good time of bonding. We might be tighter in quarters than we really anticipated, but it'll be all right. Also, please be praying about the ladies' banquet that's coming up here this month, and that'll be a real blessing to our ladies. And as you invite visitors, and I encourage you to do that, it's the Mother's Day weekend, that Saturday. We'll have a nice lunch here, and we'll have a guest speaker that will bring a devotional that day, and I just know that it'll be a special blessing. We will try to, as the men, we'll try to stay home to watch the kids and just, Lord, to give them a time away. And then also we'll have a group of men that will come in afterwards and help clean up. We don't want our ladies doing any cleaning after that time and dinner. We will come and take care of that. And Jeremiah Patterson's already volunteered for that, so we will go ahead and roll with it. And so we will have a good time with that. I'm looking forward to how the Lord will use that. And then also let me mention this real quick. VBS is coming up very, very soon. Can you believe it? It's a month away. It starts on June the 4th, and that is a month from tomorrow. And so, boy, has it come quickly. Because that it has snuck up on us so quickly, and we've sort of had to expedite in some of the preparations, Carrie and I have gone over the list and gone over some of the names. Some of you that have worked VBS before will be in some of the same positions. That's not me, is it? No, it's not. Okay, good. I asked Brother Jake, I said, Brother Jake, it's frigid in here. People are putting stocking caps on. Could you bump it up a little bit? So he gave me a thumbs up, so it should warm up. But anyway, where was I? VBS volunteers. So you will be being notified. Miss Carrie's going to probably be sending you a text or an email. And this is what I'm asking you to church to do. If you're contacted to help out with this year's VBS, would you please, please prayerfully consider it? Right now, we're needing at a minimum from we've put out the volunteer slips or whatnot. And we still need a minimum of 15 volunteers, a minimum. We could take more than that, but it could be up to 20 that we could take. But please be praying about that, and you'll be hearing from her. If you have any questions for that matter, we'll be talking about it more. And then we'll have a couple meetings even coming up this Sunday, and that'll be in the bulletin, some of those announcements But VBS is coming upon us very, very quickly. And so appreciate all those that are praying for that. All right, we'll go ahead and start with the presentation here. Let me turn this light off right here. There's no show. I just want to bring you folks up to date on how things have been going. Brother David Jemanski was so kind to put this together for us on PowerPoint. Thank the Lord for Brother David. And it's just kind of a clear overview of what God has been doing in our church the past 2 months since we really started out with our Take It Personally challenge. One thing that you'll see here, I don't want to get ahead of myself, is we don't want this just to be a program. We want this to be a part of who we are. This is our identity. It's just who we are. We share Christ. We are everything we do, not just on Saturday mornings, but wherever we go, whatever we're doing, we want to try to share Christ, the gospel. Let's see here. Where do I need to point this director to? Probably need to turn it on, don't I, Brother Mike? I heard your voice, Brother Mike, wherever you are. See with Patch tonight? All right, so here's the saturation progress since starting at the very beginning of March. So we've had full 2 months of our grow teams. Each of the teams have been out twice now. And this is our progress. And man, this is something to rejoice in. You think about 1,493 homes, how many people that probably represents. That is a lot of people. And I am just thrilled about the fact that we've been able to get them with an invitation to our church and with a gospel message on the back. And you see our progress starting off. That first date's a little small there, but that's March 4th down here where we're right at 200. Or over the months, as the different teams have gone out each Saturday, we've jumped up, and that was the last week of April, and how we jumped up past right past 1,400. And so I just want to say this, guys, not to puff you up or whatever, but I seriously want to say thank you. I just want to encourage you. That is great, guys. This is what I'm talking about right here. This is what I'm talking about, taking it personally. It's just saying, you know what, maybe I'm not real comfortable doing this, and maybe I don't even really want to, but I'm going to go, and because I do want to take it personally. I want to try to make a difference, and look what God is doing. And we're so thankful for that. Now, looking back again, 4% of our goal. By the way, I'm looking forward to that 10% mark. That's going to be a special day. That's where we'll be, right around 4,000 door hangers. And so this is what I would like to do. I'd like to set a goal for that. I believe we can do it. I believe we need a goal. I'm hoping and praying by the end of July, if we could get about 200 flyers, which that is our pace right now, about 200 door hangers a week. That's our average. If we can continue that, we will be right at 4,000 by the end of July. That's right before we take our trip to Nova Scotia. And so be praying with me about that we'll be able to reach that 4,000 mark. And then we're going to have a good old fellowship after we reach that mark. We're going to have us a pizza party, an ice cream social. We're going to do something to celebrate that and rejoice in. Looking back, at least 500 teen revival conference dodgeball tournament flyers that were distributed. And by the way, on that, we did not, as far as from my perspective, you know, as the pastor and handing these out and going out with the teens, and so thankful for how they participated and their excitement going out in these neighborhoods. We didn't see a huge response from the flyers, but here's something that it does do that we cannot forget about. That invitation there, when it goes to a door, yes, it very well could possibly be the instrument that brings someone to that special service, but what it says mainly is that this church cares. This church cares. Look what they're doing for the teenagers. Look what they're doing at their church. They're actually trying to reach out, you know. They're trying to be a blessing. And that's a testimony that we want to have as a church. We do care. And we want to be compassionate about these families. And we'll continue to build that reputation for the Lord Jesus. It's not about us. It's about Him. But that is our philosophy. And get this, this is another thing that's just phenomenal to me. I've never heard this really in other local churches. I'm sure it's there. I'm sure there are local churches that are being this faithful, and I'm thankful for that. But 90% of regular Wednesday night attenders are involved in this Take It Personally challenge and is participating on a grow team. And thank God for that. So we've had 8 weeks of outreach. That's close to 200 a week average. And that we have had at least one salvation with continuing results due directly to the door hanger ministry. Waylon is doing well. We talk with him several times a week. He's been faithful to Sunday meetings, and I'm thankful for that. We're continuing to pray for Waylon and encourage him. And we need to just continually to praise the Lord for his salvation. And then there are others that we probably don't even know about. And I'll talk a little bit about that more here in just a minute. But also, through this outreach, we have had additional church attendees due directly to the outreach. You've noticed we've had several families that maybe have been here before. Maybe they were once members here, or maybe they just had visited at one time before, have come, and we have found that it was due to a door hanger, almost like a reminder that, hey, we're still here, we're still kicking, we're alive for Jesus, and we're wanting to do a work from Him. And that's another thing that door hangers do, to let know, listen, we hadn't been kicked to the curb. And we're not sitting on our backsides twiddling our thumbs waiting until Jesus comes. We're being about our Father's business. And thank God for that. And I'm thankful that we have that encouragement here. So that's looking back on what's been happening. And then we're going to look up. And that's what we'll do here in just a minute. We're looking up. We want to pray for spiritual victory and defeat in the defeat of Satan. He is seeking to stop us. Folks, that's no surprise. I don't even have to get into that. But we know it, don't we? You all could, if I took the time to go around down each pew, I could say, listen, have you been in some spiritual battles this week? The majority of you would be like, oh yeah. Yes, I have been. Well, listen, that's no surprise. We all have. And because Satan is not happy about what we're doing. But a couple times I like to use this analogy. It might be kind of dumb, but I think of it, you know, but Satan likes to growl. He likes to bark. But he's bound. He's limited. And he can bark. You know, in times of those attacks come into your life, you know, those seasons that we talked about on the spiritual armor, we talked about those seasons of life where you just feel so oppressed. And it's so greater than others. And the fact of the matter is, those are some barks coming from Satan. He's trying to growl. He's trying to scare us. He's trying to intimidate us. But you have to tell him in Jesus' name to go back where he is going to be for eternity. Go to his home, because we're working in Jesus' name, and he has no authority over us. King Jesus is our authority. So I want us to pray for spiritual victory against Satan. Boy, I tell you, we saw some battles. That first part of the teen conference, you would not believe the amount of things that happened at the very beginning of the teen revival meeting. Brother Mike's son ended up having to go to ER and then or to the urgent care. Then they wouldn't even look at him hardly and said, you got to go to ER, because they thought that his brain was swelling and thought there was some serious head injury going on there. So he had to go get treated for that. I had several things happen right at our time, and our family get sick, and it was just one thing after another, and that we were trying to get hit. Brother Ben, he gets slides into a nice fence post to get a nice mark to remember that teen conference. I'm glad the Lord protected him. It wasn't even worse than that. But it was just all at one time. It was like, boom! But boy, I'll tell you what, the victories that God gave that week is simply amazing. And we give God the glory. But you know what that was? That was Satan barking. He was trying to say, you're not going to accomplish anything. And even afterwards, after we saw the victories, Satan's been trying to bark and growl and say, aha, you know, you hadn't done anything. Well, I want to tell you something Jesus has. We haven't, have we? We haven't done anything, but God has through us, and we'll give Him the glory. And so anyway, we pray about that. We pray for the door hangers that have been distributed. Pray that God would bless each one, that would continue to see fruit that will remain. Pray for personal opportunities to invite, evangelize, or show the love of Christ. We're praying about that. And then we need to keep asking the Lord to help us to draw near to Him in personal times of prayer and Bible study. We're looking up. And then we're looking forward. We're looking forward to God doing great things in the month of May and June. And I want to mention a few of these things right here. First of all, we're going to continue with our door hangers. I believe Team G is up this Saturday, but due to several activities going on, one being the camp out, and a couple other things. We might just have a few going out, but the few that do go out, we need to pray for and ask God to use them. And hopefully our team and O team and W team in the next few weeks will help make up for some of that and reaching more doors, more families with the gospel. VBS, I already mentioned, need to be praying about that. This next one, Take My Circle Personally Challenge, we'll talk more about that in the coming days. But you know, we put a lot of emphasis on the Saturday outreach, but what we want to do is we also want to put emphasis on just your personal circle of influence. Those folks that you work with, those folks that you see at Walmart, at the gas station you go to, how are you impacting them? And how are you influencing them with the gospel? And by the way, can I just drop this in? The BBS, that is an opportunity to take it personally, because we will be ministering to lost children that week. And we will be touching homes and families that have not been reached with the gospel in our community. So anything you can do to participate that week will be taking it personally. And then we got I Care Sunday. We're going to emphasize that. We're going to have Evangelist Ron Comfort come in. He has been preaching the gospel for over 50 years. One of the probably the most impactful men in my life as an evangelist, speaking of it from an evangelist standpoint, he has really been a great encouragement to me. He'll be here with us all day on June 25th, and so we're going to call that I Care Sunday. And when you say I care, we'll talk more about it, but it's basically I care about those around me. I care about my neighbor. I care about those in my community. I care about that family member. I care about that coworker. I care. And I'm going to make a difference, and we're going to try to encourage lost people to come in that day. And then we're going to have more in-depth gospel training in the days ahead. And then our Nova Scotia missions trip, July 21st through the 29th. That is, again, a group of folks that are taking missions personally, and a church that's going to be getting behind it and praying for it and supporting it. And that's going to be a great, great opportunity. By the way, please mark your calendars, church, and be praying even now. May 21st, we will be presenting Nova Scotia that night, and I'm asking you to pray about what God would have you give toward that trip. And I'm praying about a certain amount and asking the Lord to provide that day. And so it will help tremendously cover some of the costs. It will be some offset to our, especially our young people. We got a good many teenagers and college-age kids going on this trip. That we would definitely be a help to them as well. So just wanted to mention those things and let them be an encouragement to you. I'm going to read a verse here in the Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. If you would go there with me, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Before I begin this verse, can I ask if there is a... is there a missionary letter tonight or a prayer update from anybody tonight? Okay, if not, that's all right. Just wanted to double check with that so I could make sure I give a few minutes for that. But we do need to be praying for our missionaries tonight as we break up in prayer, and those that that we are supporting and want to love them and show that. By the way, we do have bookmarks still available. You say, actually, Pastor, I think I lost mine. I don't know where I misplaced it. Or maybe you never got one. It was one of our Be Renewed bookmarks, and it has a list of all our missionaries on the back to keep in your Bible or in a book to remember in prayer. If you've lost yours or you hadn't even received one, please let us know. We'll get you another one. And what a great tool that is to be able to pray and remember our missionaries. All right, Ecclesiastes. Chapter 11, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I'm going to read verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." I'm going to read that again. "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." You know, folks, over the past 2 months, we've been casting our bread upon the waters. You say, well, what does that exactly mean, casting our bread upon the waters? What does Solomon mean here when he is saying, cast your bread upon the waters? Well, this word bread carries the idea of a seed. But it goes more in depth, it goes deeper than just a seed. It's actually one that was meant to give life. And because when we think of bread, we think of life. Even from the New Testament, Jesus saying that He was the bread of life. It brought forth that life needing sustenance for our growth and for our existence and to be able to live. And what He's saying here, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. It's an interesting point, that analogy that He's making here, because it was custom of sowing seed in this time, specifically on the Nile River, that these folks would cast this seed or this grain along the waters, and while the waters were moving. And a lot of times it would think, well, this is a waste. Why in the world would you cast that upon the waters? I mean, put that thing in some fertile soil, and that was some fertile soil, by the way, but it was among waters and then also among the marshy ground, where it seemed like it would be a waste. But the idea is, as you cast it, you put it out there and trust that it will bring forth fruit. You know, it was there that they were trusting that one day when those waters would recede, and one day as the sun would hit that ground, and even after the animals have trod that bread, that seed, that grain, have trod it, there was one day when that sun would hit that and there would be growth given to it, and that it would bring forth a harvest. Bring forth the bread that gives life. And basically, I believe in the context of this passage, Solomon is teaching the importance of understanding that our work for God is not in vain. And I know many times, and when we're serving the Lord, we ask ourselves, man, is this really worth it? Are we really making a difference? And that question can come in our human thinking. And you know what we need to do? We need to get back to the Word of God and to realize what the Word of God says about that. And this is a perfect example about the idea of, look, even if it looks like it's a waste, do what's right. And that bread, it was not something that was waste. It was not something that really didn't matter. It was important to that individual. It perhaps meant food for his family. It meant life. And it was important to him. And you know what? I believe that is speaking up here. You could talk about finances and money, but I think ultimately it's talking about self. Giving of self. Being willing to put yourself out there and serve the Lord, and to realize that you're exerting your energy, giving of your time, giving of your treasures and your talents like we've been doing. It's not in vain. You just cast it upon the waters. People would say, man, you're wasting your life. I've heard that before about the mission field. I've had family members say that to me when we were going out to Africa. Man, that's a waste. That's a waste. Those people aren't going to listen to you. They think in the matter of it being a waste. But hey, look, when we are casting our bread upon the waters, listen to the promise of God. And we're going to talk about this more in the weeks to come. But look what it says. This is the promise, for thou shalt find it after many days. That's a promise, church, that God's going to bless our work. And it's something that we can even rejoice in, even right now. Listen, I like to say it like this. Nothing, remember, church, nothing is lost that's done for God. Nothing. Zero. It's all taken account for eternity's sake. God blesses anything that's done in His name, especially His Word. He tells us it will not return void. It will not. And boy, I'm telling you what, we just need to be encouraged this hour that the work we're doing now and the work we're going to do in the months and years ahead of us, Almighty God will bless every part of it, as long as it's done in Jesus' name. As long as it's not done in the pastor's name, it's not done in the church's name primarily, it's done in Jesus' name. It's for His glory. And I believe the Lord will honor that. We know back in Psalms, we'll look at that again, but we're going to look at this in more in depth in the next week, this verse, some things that we can draw from it for encouragement. But we know from Psalm 126 that they that sow in tears shall truly reap in joy. And I'm telling you what, there are times where we do get weary, there's no doubt about it. But I'm encouraged that as we cast our bread upon the waters, that which is important to us, our time is important, is it not? I mean, like I prayed earlier, I mean, you could probably be thinking of some other things that you really could be getting done during this exact hour. But this time is precious. And then what about Saturday morning? Well, surely there's things that we could be doing on Saturday morning besides going out and passing out door hangers. Well, surely there's something I could be doing than praying right now, and I could actually be profitable. I could be making some headway. And you know, a lot of times what we do is we substitute those spiritual things with things that are temporal. They're not eternal. God help us to make sure that we are putting the focus and we understand we are thinking eternally. Not just internally, but eternally. We have an eternal mindset. And boy, I believe that will truly help us as a church. It will help us as the people of God to do His work. Let's pray.